and heavy brown shoes, but no overcoat nor any hat. He was a poor boy, a fate no one chose, but it did shape him. There's a story about Cleanthes, a Stoic philosopher who, as he walked through Athens on a cold day, had his thin coat blown open by a gust of wind. Observers were stunned to find he had little else on underneath, despite the frigid temperatures. Slowly, they burst into applause at the sheer endurance of it. So it went with Garrick, who, even as his Yankee salary made him one of the highest paid athletes in America, was rarely seen in a hat or even a vest in New York winters. Only later, when he married a kind and loving woman, could he be convinced to put on a coat for her sake. Most kids like to play sports. Lou Gehrig saw in the game a higher calling. Baseball was a profession that demanded control of as well as care for the body, since it was both an obstacle and the vehicle for success. Gehrig did both. He worked harder than anyone. Fitness was almost a religion to him, one teammate would say. "I am a slave to baseball," Gehrig said, "a willing slave, a slave who loved the job and remained forever grateful at just the opportunity to play." This kind of dedication pays dividends. When Gehrig stepped up to the plate, he was communing with something divine. He stood serenely in a heavy wool uniform that no player today could perform in. He would sway, trading weight between his feet, settling into his batting stance. And when he swung at a pitch, it was his enormous legs that did the work, sending the ball off his bat deep, deep out of the ballpark. Some batters have a sweet spot. Gehrig could hit anywhere, off anyone. And when he did, he ran. For a guy who was teased for having piano legs, it's pretty remarkable that Gehrig stole home plate more than a dozen times in his career. He wasn't all power. He was speed too, hustle, finesse. There were players with more talent, with more personality, with more brilliance, but nobody outworked him. Nobody cared more about conditioning, and nobody loved the game more. When you love the work, you don't cheat it or the demands it asks of you. You respect even the most trivial aspects of the pursuit. He never threw his bat or even flipped it. One of the only times he ever got in trouble with management was when they found out he was playing stickball in the streets of his old neighborhood with local kids, sometimes even after Yankees games. He just couldn't pass up the opportunity to play. Still, there must have been so many days when he wasn't feeling it, when he wanted to quit, when he doubted himself, when it felt like he could barely move, when he was frustrated and tired of his own standards. Gehrig was not superhuman. He had the same voice in his head that all of us do. He just cultivated the strength and made a habit of not listening to it. Because once you start compromising